Howard Sievertson is a descendant of an Isle Royale fishing family. His family has a connection to the island that spans over 118 years. The lifestyle of Howard's family changed dramatically over time when Isle Royale National Park was established in 1941. On this edition of Moments in Time, Howard shares his experience surrounding the decline of commercial fishing on the island and the beginning of the park.
My name is Howard Sievertson. I live in Cook County. I have been living here for the last 30, 40 years, I guess. But I was one of the third generation of commercial fishermen at Isle Royale for my family. My grandparents came to Isle Royale in 1892, and we were there ever since until I was about 20 years old or so. But my family history goes back pretty far. Well, my grandparents came from Norway in 1892 and settled on Isle Royale as commercial fishing in the first commercial fishing community at Washington Harbor on Isle Royale. And they lived on the island for 9 months of the year and lived on the mainland here for 3 months of the year. But they raised all their children became commercial fishermen, and they raised their family as commercial fishermen. And when my turn came, the fishing had just about disappeared because of the lamprey and the smelt, and because of National Park Service regulations prohibiting commercial fishing. The fishermen were considered squatters because most of them didn't own property on Isle Royale. They just came there on a seasonal basis, but the season was long, like I said, 9 months. And in 1931, when the Congress of the United States decided to make Isle Royale into a national park, and they invited the National Park Service in to manage it, one of the first things that the National Park Service had to do was to plan on the attrition of commercial fishermen. They had to get rid of all the people who owned property or who lived on Isle Royale because they were going to make a pristine or primeval wilderness. The Park Service didn't show up until after the war, actually. Well, they were there as they had representatives there during the war, but it wasn't until after the war they declared it and made it a national park. And to us children, we kind of felt like the Gestapo had landed. We were more afraid of the Park Service than we were of the Nazis. You know, that's from a child's viewpoint, because whenever the Park Service boat would come into the harbor, everybody hollered, you know, here comes the Park Service, you know, like we're supposed to get our guns or something. But it was not a good relationship. Later on, as things grew and they got used to each other, and of course the fishermen started to retire and they leave the island, but the Park Service mellowed a bit too. Once they had control of the island and everything, then they could mellow and be a little bit less stringent than they were in the beginning. They came and offered those people who own property, they had a choice of whether to sell it or to accept a life lease. That was their only choice. But the thing was happening, it was going to be a national park. There wasn't any voting on that. And so a lot of them decided to just have a life lease for the owner at that time and his children. The commercial fishermen, they were just dying off. If they didn't come over for a year, their homes got burned. And in those years, like in the 50s and 60s, there weren't any fish to catch. Some of them didn't show up. So my parents' home was burned in 1957 because my dad had to work in Duluth. He had a business there, and he couldn't get up to fish and fulfill his obligation of having to fish every year. So when he wasn't there, they burned his place. And that's the way it was at that during those days in the 50s. It was just kind of an attitude that these people were worthless. They didn't really mean anything. You know, they were just squatters. They were just commercial fishermen. They were treated like a third world country, you know. I think there's a great history at Isle Royale that has to be preserved. You know, it goes going back to, like I say, 5,000 BC that we know of, that we can connect with those people in those days. But there's a great history. There's a lot of good stories. I would like to see some commercial fishing back. I'd like to see the old days, but of course that's not going to happen.